If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Romans this morning, you can find your reading on page 1135. We're going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. And these words that we read this morning, these words that we speak and proclaim and declare, are for each and every one of us, those in a difficult season, those in a good season, those of us who maybe feel overwhelmed and overcome or lost or helpless or hopeless or broken. These words are for you. But for those of us who feel like we're in 2018 and we've started with vigor and renewed optimism and pressing into Jesus, these words are for you as well as a reminder of all that God is, all that he has done. That's why Paul wrote them, to remind the church, yes, one, of God's just and holy and righteous character, but two, of our need for Jesus and who we become in that moment of faith when we step and when we trust him. This is the word of God from Romans 8, 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to this, everything that he's talked about previously in his book? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, but more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we pray that God will speak to us through these words. Aren't they amazing words this morning that we hear, that we read? Incredible words of declaration, incredible words of promise, incredible words that speak of who God our Father is, who our Savior Jesus is, but also affirm who we are in him as well through faith when we come to the foot of the cross, when we come to that empty tomb and see that it is empty, that God has done something miraculous and he saves us and he welcomes us into his family. This morning we're going to think a little bit about what it is to be bold in life and to be bold in faith. And it's the start of a new year, and for an awful lot of us, whenever it comes to January, the Christmas season has passed, and we maybe hold on to the memories of 2017, or we look into the future of 2018, and we wonder what the seasons of the year are going to bring for us. Maybe you're full of dread as you sit here this morning. Maybe you feel in a dark place. Maybe you feel like the cold face of life has just slapped you firmly in the face. Maybe you feel that there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe it took all the faith that you had just to bring you to this place this morning. Or maybe you're in a really good season in your life where things are good, where there is an awful lot of light. You're not just looking or hoping for some light at the end of the tunnel. There is light and there is hope and there is joy. Well, whichever season we find ourselves in this morning, and there are multiple seasons, some that we haven't even covered, some that we could never begin to imagine, for we know that each of us is unique, each of us is different. The story that we find ourselves in at the minute is different for each of us. The things that we are facing, the challenges that we're coming up against are different. Our seasons are different, and yet these words that we've read this morning, these declarations that Paul spoke to the church in Rome, that he speaks to us, are words for us all. These words unite us. These words embolden us and give us hope and give us something, point us to someone that in the seasons of life we can cling to, that in the seasons of life we can be bold. And so this morning, in the midst of our seasons, how can we be bold in life? How can we be bold in faith? I want to say that it starts very simply with seeing and knowing who our Father is. With seeing and knowing who our Father is. How can we stand firm? How can we stand on his promises? How can we bring ourselves to get out of bed in the difficult seasons? How can we bring ourselves to know that there is hope, to know that there is a day coming where Paul has said previously in Romans 8 that he is working good together for all those who love? How can we stand firm in these seasons? Well, we do that by seeing and knowing who our Father is. Do you know, maybe if you're like me, sometimes when the seasons of life come along or a particularly difficult season comes, it's really easy for your roots to be lifted up, isn't it? It's really easy to be swept away by your feelings and your experience, and that's humanity. That's something that we're all akin to. That's not something that is bad. That is not something that makes you a worse Christian or an awful person. That in the midst of the trials and the seasons of life and the things that we face, that your eyes are transported right into your present, and that's all that you can see, that's all that you can feel. That hurt and that pain is all that you know. But how this morning do we see and do we know? How can we be bold through seeing and knowing? Well, Jesus tells us that if we want to live for him, that if we want to produce much fruit, that if we want our lives to mimic his and that we can become the visible image of the invisible God, then we've got to see and know. But we do that by coming close. He invites each of us, no matter our age, our experience, our past, or where we are at the present, or where we dream of being in the future. He invites each of us to come to him and to remain in him. He told the disciples, remain in me. Come and spend time with me. Abide with me. Do you know, we can, in the midst of our seasons, we can worship and we can sing and we can pray for one another and we can pray for ourselves and have people pray with us and over us. And we can serve and we can live lives in community. And those are really good and really wonderful things to do, things that will help us at times to keep our roots, things that will help to point us to the Father. But to remain, we really, I believe and I'm convinced that we have to be saturated. We have to be drowning in his word. We have to be in it. We have to be reading it. We have to be studying it. Not because it's the thing to do, not because it's the right thing to do, not because you feel guilty this morning as you hear that and you think, I haven't really read my Bible this morning or this year or whatever it might be, but because his word is alive. His word is alive. His word is alive and speaks to each of us today. It speaks to us of who God is, of what he has done in the past, of his miraculous deeds, of the signs and wonders throughout the ages, of his faithfulness. It speaks to us of Jesus, his son, and it reveals his glory to us. It reveals how our hearts and our minds and our lives can be set free, how our stories can be rewritten in a moment of faith when we trust in him and are found in him. It reveals who we become as his children, who we become in part of God's larger redemptive story over all this earth. His word is alive, and Romans chapter 8 as a standalone chapter is just incredible. If you ever get the chance, read the book of Romans. Study it deeply. It is full of treasure. It is full of riches. It is full of gold that speak to us about who God is and who we are, and remind us of the hope that is ours. Remind us of what we can cling to, what we can hold on to in the midst of every season. And in Romans 8, we discover that who we are is not who the world would want us to believe that we are. That we are, in fact, not condemned. That we are set free. That we are found in Christ. That we are adopted sons and daughters. That we are heirs with God, but more than that, fellow heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance in the heavenly places. That though at times on this earth we may feel helpless, we are helped. That though we feel hopeless, that we can be filled with hope. That we are justified, that Christ's seal and name and spirit is upon us and over us and in us and through us every which way. That though we maybe feel that we're not very victorious, that in fact we are more than conquerors, that we are triumphant, that there is nothing on this earth that we face or see or will be done to us or we will experience that can ever separate us from the incredible love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful truth that we need to see and we need to know, not just today as we sit here, but each and every day? I need to know that every day. I need to hear that every day. I need to know that especially, even though it may be a good season now in my life. I need that to be stored away, to be rooted deep, that when the difficult seasons come and the dark seasons come, that those words come to the front of my mind, that they ring true, that I remember that this is who I am in Christ. This is who God says I am, and I can be bold and know that I am his child. I am who he says I am, not what anyone else says I am. I can stand firm in the knowledge and in the promise that no matter how dark, no matter how difficult it gets, that nothing can separate me from his love. That there is nothing that his love isn't stronger than, that there is nothing that his love isn't greater than. And doesn't the world need to know that? Don't we need to know that? And that's something that Paul knew. That's something that Paul felt and something that Paul experienced. He faced persecution. He knew what it was to be hated at every turn. He knew what it was to have people speak things against him. He knew what it was to stare death down at every corner. He knew what it was to be in chains. And yet still he declares with boldness and with authority and with power given to him by God these words. And how can he declare these words? How can he tell us today that nothing will separate us, no matter what season of life we're in, from the love of God in Christ Jesus? How can he say that? Well, it's because if you look a little bit deeper and you really get in and you really study the passage and you read the whole Bible as a whole and you see the incredible truth that Jesus did not remain in the cross or remain in the tomb, but was resurrected, that Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, his love is alive. And because he is alive and seated at the right hand of God the Father and praying for us and ruling for us and working for us and comforting us and walking with us, that we are able to be found in that love. That we are able to know that his love has overcome, his love is stronger. That this inseparable love that holds us tightly, that grips us and comforts us, is ours today. It isn't something that happened once and has long since been forgotten, but it's a moment-by-moment thing that Paul knew, that we can see and we can know from reading his word, that leads us and fills us with everlasting joy in the midst of seasons, that fills us with hope and fills us with boldness to know that no matter what anyone might say or what anyone might do or whatever the very worst that this world full of sin and shame can throw at us, that even death itself cannot separate us, cannot thwart or ruin our identity in Christ, because his love has overcome and his love is stronger. And we can be bold in that. Isn't that incredible? This morning, that as you sit here now, Jesus is in love with you. Jesus is pouring out his love and his grace upon you. He is for you. He is with you. In every season, Jesus loves you. And so we see that and we know that, but I'm convinced that if we want to be bold, we have to get beyond the seeing and the knowing. It's really good that we come to church and we worship and we pray and we read and we hear and we see and our eyes and our hearts are opened and we know a little bit of God. But if all we ever have is stuff within our head and it never gets down to our heart, or further than that, it never goes to our feet or to our hands or to our actions and to our words, then we've missed out on everything that Jesus has for us, everything that God is calling us to. And so although we might see and know, the gospel also calls us to claim and live, to see and know God the Father, but also to claim these declarations that he speaks of in Romans 8, to claim these words that are spoken about who we are in faith, of our victory, of our triumph, of how we are his sons and daughters, of how we have a hope and a future, of how nothing can get in the way of what God is doing. He calls us to claim those words and to stand in them, to be firmly and deeply rooted in these words of truth and these words of life, but to then go and live them in our schools, in our workplaces, our communities, our homes, even in our church, our towns, our cities, our nations, because this world needs good news. It needs a church that is bold, a church that is rooted because it is seen and known what God has said and seen and known what God says he will do, and then goes and claims that and lives in that and holds on to that and believes in that and prays for that and lives that out in purpose and in conviction. We claim and we live. But the claim and the live is scary. I confess, I come to church an awful lot, and I would love just to be left at the point of seeing and knowing. It would be great to have all the knowledge in the world and leave the action to other people. Leave the conversations and the evangelism and the ministry and the giving and everything else to other people, but that's not how the gospel works. But we this morning can know we can be bold in life and bold in faith as we claim and live, because Paul gives us incredible promises of God. And God is faithful, God is true. The words God speaks, he does not go back on. He does not say one thing and promise another. We read that in the book of Numbers. But what he has said, he will do according to his time and according to his purpose. And so we can trust and we can claim and we can live and we can know today that we can be bold in life and bold in faith because of Romans 8, 31 and 35 and 37. That if our God is for us, who can be against us? That this morning God is for you. If you are his child in faith, he is for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That this morning nothing can separate you from Christ. Not the difficulties, not the darkness, not the seasons. Though our faith might waver, he does not. He is still there, and his love is remarkable. His love is overcoming. His love is overwhelming. And it will not break. It will not reach a bit of the cord where it is pulled as far apart as it possibly can, looking like it's going to go. No. That love remains. And we are more than conquerors in that love. We are victorious. We are triumphant. I read these words of Romans 8, 31 and 39, and I look at the world around, and you wonder how or why people still long to walk in darkness, how people still would long to say no to these words, to these incredible promises and declarations and offers that God speaks and gives to us and asks that we might come to him and invites us to come to him. And maybe we sit in here week after week, and that's our story as well. We hear it all the time, and we know it, and we read it, but although we see and we know, we don't actually come to life through what he has done. Maybe today's the day to be bold and take a step in faith and a step into life, and life and more life. As we look around at this world needs to know that there is a God who is for them, that there is a God who loves them, a God who knows them, a God who has made them, a God who has sent his Son to die and save them and resurrected, that they might have hope, that they might have purpose, that they would have something to live for. And he calls us to be bold in proclaiming that. He calls us to be bold in taking that message to the world. And here's the thing, we can be bold. This morning we can be bold, and Norman over the next lot of weeks is going to be talking from Acts 15 onwards about advancing the kingdom. We can be bold in being carriers of the kingdom this morning. We can be bold in people who carry his love and his light and his grace and his peace and his everything into the world, because Paul tells us we can be bold from above. In 2 Corinthians 3:12, he tells us that Jesus has bought boldness for us. That Jesus, through going to the cross and in his resurrection, has bought boldness. He has made a way for us to boldly and confidently come before the Father just as we are. We don't have to get dressed up. We don't have to have everything together. We don't have to be in the most perfect season. We can come as we are. And we can be bold in that, knowing that he won't turn us away. We can be bold because Jesus has bought boldness for us. And he promises us in faith that when we come to him in faith and when we receive his amazing gift of salvation, that he gives us his Spirit And his Spirit empowers boldness. And if we need examples of that, we can read Acts 2:14 to 41 of how those disciples 50 days earlier had been full of fear, had been full of terror, had wondered how they were ever going to have a future, and yet the Spirit comes upon them, and the things that they were afraid of become the things that they step into and speak the kingdom and speak God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit into, that the story of the world would be rewritten. The Spirit empowers boldness in you this morning, and you can pray for this boldness, we're told in Acts 4. It's not a gift that is given to some, but it's something that is freely there for each of us. And those disciples came back and they marveled at what was happening across the world, at the thousands who were coming to faith, at the speaking and the preaching of their words. And they came back and they prayed for greater boldness. And God didn't answer them according to the lack of faith and the lack of boldness that they'd had 50 days earlier, but instead he granted that boldness to them. He gave them that boldness. He enabled them to go boldly and in power and in authority into the world and to speak. And we too can pray for that boldness and receive that boldness and keep on praying for that boldness. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. And as we see that we can pray for boldness, as we see that the Spirit empowers boldness and Jesus has bought boldness for us, so then we can rest in who he is and what he has done. But more than rest, we can step out in boldness. We can act the miracle. We can follow the example of Paul and those who went with him in the likes of Acts 13 and 14 and 18 and 19 and 26 and 28, who when they were faced with many things and when they were faced with prison and synagogues and words spoken against them, declared boldly and unapologetically the words of truth and the words of life. For how they reasoned with boldness, how they spoke boldly and lived boldly with their faith. And you know, there's something really wonderful about boldness, that whenever we step out, whenever we begin to be bold, whenever one of us uses our voice, whenever one of us begins to say, Lord, today I choose to serve you, today I long to carry your kingdom into this world, that boldness becomes contagious within us. And we long to be bolder, we long to continue to step out, we long to get further and further away from the shore to carry this message. And our boldness then becomes contagious to those around us as they see the Father at work. As we then realize and see and know and claim and live with our own eyes and hearts that Jesus has bought boldness for us. That the Spirit empowers boldness, that we can pray for this boldness. That we can step out in boldness and know that in every circumstance, in everything that we face, Jesus will give us the words to speak, he tells us in Matthew 10:20. Or he will provide for us the thing that we need at that moment. So we can be bold and we can trust him this morning. And that boldness becomes contagious. Paul knew that. Paul saw that. He writes in Philippians 1:14 that through his being in chains, but yet continuing to preach the gospel, that many other brothers and sisters have become bold to preach the word of God. Their boldness became contagious. But it only took for Paul to say he would be bold. It only took for him to say, I will speak. And in our world at the minute, there's an awful lot of talk, you've probably seen it online, about the Me Too campaign, about all the horrible abuse that took place and has taken place in Hollywood, about how women especially have been treated and the things they have been forced to do and the things that have been said about them and the stuff that has been cast on them, the guilt that has been placed upon them that is in no way theirs, that they have been made to live with and carry. And yet one person in boldness said, no, I will not continue to live with this stigma. I will not continue to live with this. I will boldly step out and speak out against this. And what did that boldness do? It became contagious. It allowed others to stand up and speak out against these acts, to declare a different story, to start a movement that is seeking to root all of this out. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if for the church, if for us as we prepare ourselves for this new building that is coming, for this series of Advancing the Kingdom that we're going to hear, that we say today, Lord, I want to see you, I want to know you, I want to claim these promises and declarations and live boldly for you. That people would look around and see that we are a body, that we are individuals who are contagious with our faith, who are on fire in every season, firmly, deeply rooted in the Word of God to point this world to Him. I believe that's our calling. Jesus didn't die that we might quiver or hide in a corner or feel completely and utterly at all times overwhelmed and defeated. That when we go into this world, He didn't die that we would feel timid or weak or powerless or lacking in authority. No, He tells us that the Spirit has given us a spirit of boldness and of power and of authority and of self-control. Let's be bold and let's claim that this morning. Let's live our lives, let's live out our faith in boldness of the fullness, knowing that whatever we face and whatever we see and whatever is done against us, that nothing will be able to separate us from the incredible love of God our Father in Jesus and through what Jesus has done. Let's pray. Father, we're so aware and of your calling to us to be bold and to go into the world and to come before you and to remain with you and to abide in you. And sometimes, Lord, we're really, really good at that. And other times, the things of life and the things of this world can weigh us down. And so we pray, Lord, that as we sit and as we respond in this place this morning, that your spirit of boldness will come upon us and over us, that your boldness will flow in every pew and in every heart, that maybe for those of us who have never taken that bold step to put our faith in you, Lord, that we would take that step, that we would boldly declare today that we long to be found in you. We long to claim these promises, these words, this identity, this hope, this future that you've spoken over us. Lord, give us the boldness to turn our back on the things of this world and to step into your glorious future. And Lord, for those of us who feel like we just want to see and know and maybe sometimes claim but never really live, would you give us the boldness to see this world as you see it? To not see fear, but to see opportunity. To not see people that we could never approach, but children whom you have made and children whom you loved and died to save. Lord, would you give us boldness to step out in faith and to step out in trust? And would you give us the boldness to continue to hold on to you in every season? Lord, we know that we face many seasons. We know that everyone in here is in a season in their lives, but Lord, we need you. And we thank you that though our seasons change and our circumstances change, you never change. And your word stays the same. And may we stand in those promises today. May we know that whether we believe them with all of our heart or even just a little bit, Lord, that you, regardless of us and our faith, that you are for us, that you are with us, and that in you we can never be separated from your incredible love. Lord, let us declare that. Let us hold that. Minister that over us each and every day. Give us the grace and the wisdom and the power and the boldness to carry that to this world which needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.